Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for the beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend, an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day and enjoy the summer weather that's still with us. And really, it's my joy, big joy, to introduce a very, very special guest on the program for part of this week. My lovely wife, Debbie, is here. Welcome, Debbie.
Thanks, Peter. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and I've been asking Debbie if we could find a window she could come on the program and just share with my listeners, our listeners here, about the amazing work that she and many other and young women that she's been discipling have been doing over decades now of really making a pathway through camps and through all kinds of ministry to junior high girls, high school girls, college girls, and younger than that. And it's a wonderful story. And I just want to encourage, I think you'll find it very encouraging. And I'm hoping that we'll have some time this week as well for Deb just to share some of the key things that she's teaching these young women to help them navigate a very challenging world. So welcome, Deb.
Thanks. Thanks, Peter.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so why don't you just start with kind of the beginning, the origin of how it all came about?
Sure. Well, we're right now in the midst of planning for our 40th year of Pine Hills Girls Camp, which is exciting for me to see that we've really been able to grow and sustain this for 40 years, which in Scripture really is the number 40, really signifies a generation. So I think there's no accident there that this is really trying to create and raise up a generation that really seeks the Lord. So if we go back 40 years, you and I were engaged to be married, and I remember we were doing youth ministry at the time, and I remember just thinking about the possibility of our own family and having children and feeling like how important it was to create a culture, an alternative culture. And back then, the culture was mild compared to what it is today in terms of how destructive it is, but an alternative culture, a peer culture, where all the peer pressure, instead of moving away from Jesus and drawing young people away from Jesus, was really moving toward him and drawing people toward a life of faith, and not just minimal faith, but really faith that was really lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we began a camp for middle school girls, and it was very small when we first began. I think there were maybe 20 girls there. And it was really just a week-long camp to help girls encounter the person of Jesus Christ, to walk together in this week as friends and peers and learn what it looks like to actually have friendships rooted in Christ, but then to go beyond that week of encounter and to really learn how to live this life, the life of a disciple. So as you can imagine, we kind of grew slowly and incrementally over the years. I love Jesus, but I don't think I really exactly knew what I was doing. I was really relying on him to show us what was healthy and what was good for these girls. It was clear that being in an environment with just girls was important, that they needed to learn how to really love one another as sisters in the Lord, to not see each other as a source of competition or comparison, which I think starts at a very young age for girls, and it's expressed differently than it is for boys. Boys just kind of beat it out of each other on the field or on the floor or whatever it is. And girls are a little bit more, I think, wily about it. But it definitely impacts their ability to really run together towards the Lord. And I think I've told you this, Peter, but when I first began, maybe 5 or 10 years into it, the Lord gave me an image in prayer one day. And it was me running through a field at camp. And I love athletics. I'm very competitive, but running is not really my thing. But I was running through this field, and it was not a sprint. It was really almost like a marathon. And I heard behind me, or I sensed behind me, the presence of others. And as I looked behind me, I saw a whole crowd, a whole host of young women, middle school, high school, college age, who were running behind me. And then as this image began to unfold, I saw these girls catch up to me. And as they caught up to me, it was almost like I was handing a baton to them. And then I saw them pass me. Mm. And I felt like the Lord was showing me, this is what I've called you to do. I've called you to lead the way, to lead them and show them the way. But your goal and your dream and your hope and your wish is that someday they will outrun you. And I'm so honored to say I've seen that happen in so many ways. Still running with those young women, and many of them now are married and have their own children. We're on our second generation of even counselors at camp from that. But to see that really this generational thing take root and to really grow. And I want to underline the marathon and not the sprint, because this is the long haul. And I realized about maybe 15 years into the camp experience, like, it takes so much time and so much patient endurance to change the culture and to build an alternate culture. And that was really what we wanted to do, to build a culture within the camp where they could experience God's love in a very powerful way and experience what it meant, what authentic friendship really meant through the friendships with one another, but also the witness of the counselors who are just five steps ahead of them, and to really see this is what it looks like to love Jesus as a young person. And I can do that too. And he's worth it doing that with all these other young girls. So that's kind of how camp began. And it's really a beautiful combination of encounter with Jesus, which is our main goal, is to really help girls encounter the person of Christ and to live as disciples in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's really our mission statement. And that begins every day at camp, whether we're in this big white tent. Now we're packed out this camp. We have every single bunk filled. We have 204 campers. We have a staff of over 100 young women. The first day we opened on March 1st, within 48 minutes of the registration opening online, we were totally full with a wait list of 40 girls. And it's a problem, but it's a good problem to have, because there is such a need and such an expectation that when we come to camp together, God is going to show up.
Now, our listeners, the registration for camp begins at midnight on that date.
Yeah.
And by 1 in the morning, 204 girls had already signed up for camp, basically, in 1 hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a sense of the passion. I mean, the camp is quite amazing because a culture is built and their desire and anticipation to be together is there. And I think part of the grace of it, I think, is the fact that early on you said it's really important that these girls come together and it's just girls together for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they get plenty of time to be with boys and do all kinds of different things, but that week, boys enter into environments like that. That's where the competition kind of comes, it's just harder. It just changes the dynamics.
Yeah, they're a distraction.
They're very distracting.
And girls tend to be more mature than boys at that age, and boys just are not going to be running after the same things that we want the girls to. So we're just going to eliminate the distraction. Boys need their own space to grow as young men, and these young women need a space where they can be free.
Yeah.
And if I had to describe different elements of camp, freedom is definitely a huge part of that. To be able to come to camp with no makeup, with not worrying about what you look like, to be able to, in a certain way, be a middle schooler and just be free to laugh, to cry, to play, you know, all the things that the culture is kind of trying to rob them of, to be free of the worries and concerns and anxieties you have about the way you look, about academics, about sports, about your family life, about boys, and just to enter in and to be free now as we enter into this, in the last 10 years, technology and what technology has done for two young people. This is a technology-free environment.
So you mean they go the whole week and they survive without a phone?
Absolutely. They're not allowed to bring phones.
They don't get to look at their phone at night and in the morning, or anything. Just they unplug and they're okay with it.
Yes, and our counselors don't have their phones either, because what we want to do is get their hearts in a disposition, and it takes a few days for them to, I don't know, I think you'd say detox, but to move away from the main way where I'm relating is through a screen, to kind of let their brain begin to rewire a bit and to say, I need to be available to listen to other people and to listen to God. And I can't have all this other noise going on in my head, not even at night when I'm falling asleep. I want to kind of learn new ways and new patterns of being human with other people, and the joy that comes from that. It's one of the most beautiful things. Honestly, I have to say, besides giving birth to our children and raising our family together, camp is one of my favorite places to see and favorite realities to encounter, because to watch a middle schooler come in at the beginning of the week, shy or awkward or not sure about what she's stepping into, and to watch them progress throughout the week, and then at the end of the week, closing ceremonies, just to watch their hearts and their hands lifted up in praise to God. And can't tell you the amount of emails and letters I've got from families and parents saying, what happened to my daughter? It's amazing. Yeah. She came home a different person.
Yeah. We just have a few minutes left in this program, Deb. There was one of the key turning points for you was inspiration by Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. And I know maybe some of our listeners have heard you share that because you do mm-hmm. travel and do a lot of speaking, and that's part of the story. Could you just tell that story? Because I do think it's key for what was built around that, which we can talk about tomorrow more
sure,
in detail.
Sure. I'll try and get it in 3 minutes. And if yeah. I can't, you'll just have to come back to listen tomorrow. But essentially, that's the story with Mother Teresa really began when we were first married and had two young children, two and under. And I had been doing ministry for many years since my conversion, but really wanted to be home, primarily caring for my children. You were traveling around the world a lot. And I remember this sense of, and I think women can really relate to this, this sense of real isolation, of knowing I was doing something important and valuable to God, but having such a hard time holding on to that truth because the culture and the world around me were like, well, why aren't you working? Or what's so valuable? Or couldn't you find somebody else to clean your house or watch your children? And all those tapes in my head. And it's a very challenging time, although I loved being a mother. And you came home one day and were very excited to announce that you and I had been invited to speak at a conference on the family in Germany. And I was excited for many reasons. One is to just get out and preach the gospel, to go to a foreign country, to wear nice clothes, to get out of the house, just a multitude of things. And so we each prepared our little talk, and we were going to take our baby, Michael, who was 9 months old at the time, with us, or maybe he was 11 months old. Actually, he was only 6 months old now that I'm thinking about it. Sorry, yeah. It's a long time ago, but he was going to be with us, and we packed up all the stuff for a very short weekend in Germany, long weekend in Germany, and I have to say, I was super excited to go. And from the get-go, getting on that plane, it seemed like everything was going wrong, from a crying baby to luggage that was lost to finding our luggage and my suitcase being broken into, jewelry being stolen, just everything. I don't know how keyed in you were to all that. I was exhausted. And mm-hmm. and then we got there and the organizer said, you know what? We overbooked our speakers and we actually only have room for one of you to speak. So I graciously agreed that it should really be you, Peter, who gave the talk. But I remember afterwards, and you did a great job, feeling like I could genuinely be happy that you had spoken. But I remember saying to God that night in the hotel, God, why did you bring me here? Why'd you bring me all the way here? This is hard. It's not better. It's harder. What's going on here and what's happening? So I'm going to pause there so that we can leave people like really on pins and needles here.
to make sure that they come back.
Back to hear the rest of the story.
We actually didn't set it up that way. It just happened, right? Yeah, no, because it is a beautiful story and it's very key to the ministry that you've done. And friends, I know if you can tune in again tomorrow on Wednesday, Debbie's going to be with us. You'll be encouraged because I know many of you have your own children, your own daughters, granddaughters. And Deb's going to share a lot of just wisdom that she's learned that can be a source of great encouragement to you. But you could also go to our website at renewalministries.net. There's information there on the Be Love Revolution, which Debbie will talk about, access to the broader ministry that's developed. And while you're there, just feel free to browse around, make a donation if God puts it on your heart. But until tomorrow, this is Peter and Debbie Herbick saying God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.